In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel reading that we just heard, we heard the genealogy of our Lord, and we hear many names. And if you're not familiar with Scripture, they're just a collection of syllables that don't have any meaning. But all of these names do have meaning, and that's why we want to study the Scripture, so that we can appreciate what they mean. One of the ancestors of the Lord that we heard mentioned in the genealogy is King Hezekiah. And he was one of the more notable kings of Judah. We're told that when he became king, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. And then later on it says that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. This, of course, was after the kingdom was divided. So we had a northern kingdom of Israel, and we had the southern kingdom of Judah, which consisted just of two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and, of course, also the tribe of Levi, which constituted the priests and the Levites that served the temple. King Hezekiah's father had been a wicked king who sought his salvation and deliverance in the king of Assyria. Israel and other kingdoms had threatened Judah. He made an alliance with Assyria. He even went to visit the king of Assyria to do homage to him, and he set up idols to the Assyrian gods in the temple of the Lord. Hezekiah was his son, but Hezekiah was faithful, unlike his father. And when he became king, he got rid of all of those idols that were in the temple. He also got rid of any worship in the land of Judah that was contrary to the law. Not only were there people who were worshiping idols, but there were also people who would even offer sacrifices to the Lord. They would have a local priest who lived in a village, and they would offer sacrifices to the Lord, but they would do it in their own village at the high place, which was contrary to the law, because the law was very specific that the sacrifices needed to be offered where the Lord made his name to dwell, which of course became the city of Jerusalem. In the fourth year of the reign of King Hezekiah, the Assyrians came and they besieged the city of Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom. And they took it after a three-year siege, and they took away all the people from the northern kingdom of Israel because they had given themselves over to idolatry. So this was a punishment from the Lord, and this part of the people of Israel never really was restored. I mean, there were some small elements of those tribes that returned to the land later on, but for the most part, those 10 northern tribes ceased to be a significant factor among the people of Israel, which is why we came to call them as Jews, which is really referring to the tribe of Judah, the one big tribe of the kingdom of Judah. Prior to that time, they were called Israelites or Hebrews. Now, because Hezekiah's father had made an alliance with the king of Assyria, there was a yearly tribute that had to be paid. But we're told that at one point Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria and he refused to pay. And so in the 14th year of his reign, we're told that King Sennacherib of Assyria came and he captured the most important cities of Judah with the exception of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah decided that he would go ahead and pay the tribute, and the king of Assyria actually laid on a heavier tribute to make up for the lost time that had not been paid, and the Assyrians withdrew. But Judah was very much diminished as a result of this first invasion. But about 15 years passed, and we're not told in the scriptures exactly why, but likely either Hezekiah had decided again to stop paying the tribute, or it might have been that the tribute was just too high for him to pay, given the weakened state of Judah, so he stopped making payments. And he also made an alliance with the Egyptians, which actually are referred to in the passage as the Ethiopians, and that's because at that time Egypt was ruled by a line of Nubian kings. And so the two kingdoms were sort of blurred between the Ethiopians and the Egyptians. So Sennacherib again came, and this time he laid siege to the city of Jerusalem itself. And he sent his chief spokesman, who's referred to as Rabshakeh, which is just a title. It's not the personal name of this person, but this was the person who was the chief prince in the kingdom of Assyria, and he was the spokesman. And Hezekiah sent out three men to parley with him, basically to hear what terms the Assyrians were demanding. And so this is what the Assyrian representative told them. He said, "Speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the king of Assyria, what confidence is there wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it." So you have to understand that Egypt was not the great kingdom that it had once been. It had been very much weakened by this time. And what this Assyrian was saying was, it's like a bruised reed. And a reed is sort of a stiff, but not too stiff, plant. And if you lean on it, it's going to break, but it's going to go through your hand. And so he's saying it's foolish for you to be trusting that Egypt's going to help you, because it's not going to be able to do it. "So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and who hath said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before the altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them." So he's saying, I'll give you 2,000 horses, but I'm not sure that you even got 2,000 warriors that you could put on those horses. "How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least part of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land to destroy it." And all this time he was speaking in Hebrew. And so the representatives of King Hezekiah, they said, don't speak to us in Hebrew, where the people on the walls might hear what you're saying. We understand Aramaic. Go ahead and speak to us in Aramaic, which Aramaic was the language that the Assyrians spoke, but they're very similar languages. But Rabshakeh said unto them, we're told, "Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" And so he's talking about what these people would be driven to in a siege. And then we're told that Rabshakeh stood and cried out with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered in the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the water of the cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and not die." So basically what he's saying is you can walk out of the city if you agree. You can go eat your own food for a while, but then we're going to come back with an army and we're going to take you away. But it's going to be a land just like your own. It's going to have all these nice things. Don't worry about it. "And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Hath they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" So One thing you should understand about the Assyrians were the first great empire that wound up taking over what we now call the Middle East. And they were especially brutal. One of the reasons why they became so effective is that they had to capture a city by siege. They would torture people. They would kill them in horrible ways because they wanted the next city to think twice about whether they really wanted to resist. And so they were terrifying. And so what this man was saying to the people, and he said it out loud so all the people on the wall could hear, he said, look, have any of these other nations' gods delivered them? Don't think that you're going to be delivered because the king of Assyria is more powerful than all these people. So the king of Assyria would set himself up in direct opposition to God. Then it says, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And then what we're told is when Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he sent word unto the prophet Isaiah. And then the message that he sent to Isaiah was this: thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring it forth. And you need to understand the image that's being used there, because we don't see this in our time, because we have medical professionals and technology to where we don't see women dying in labor. But this was a common thing that people used to observe. And he's saying, that's where we're at. We're like a woman who's lost all strength to deliver a child, and we're just in agony, and we're going to die if we don't get delivered. It may be that the Lord, thy God, will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left, for the people who are still left in the land. So he's calling on Isaiah to pray, and he's asking him to seek the Lord so that they can be delivered. And then we're told that Isaiah sent back this message: thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then we're told that Rabshakeh had left the area because he heard that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was coming by force to fight. But he sent another letter to Hezekiah to make sure that he didn't think that because the Egyptians were on the way that they were going to be rescued. And the letter said, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done in all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shall thou be delivered? Have the gods and nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, and Haran, and Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, or Hena, or Iva? And then Hezekiah, he received this letter by the hands of his messengers, and he read it. And we're told that he went into the temple, and he spread out the letter before the Lord, and he began to pray. And when you're facing a difficulty, you should keep this in mind, because when you don't know what to do, pour it out before God and ask for him like King Hezekiah. We're told Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and he said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwelt between the cherubim, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and the earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of King Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And then we're told that Isaiah sent this message again to Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee, whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come up before it with shield, nor cast a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And we talked about putting hooks in their mouths. This was actually something that we see in archaeology, relief depictions of the Assyrians putting hooks in people's mouths and dragging them away into exile. And so God is saying, I'm going to do to you what you've been doing to all these other people. And then we're told, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nirak his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So his own sons killed him, and the angel of the Lord slew a great multitude of his army, so he had to retreat. We're told by the father that Sennacherib represents the devil. Most of the world is in his hands. And when you look around and you see in the natural, how is good going to triumph in the world? It might seem impossible. And the devil offers every one of us terms of peace. He'll give us a place almost as good as what God promises us. Another land, but he lies. And what he really offers us is slavery. He says that our faith is no different than any other faith, and that our God is powerless and just as powerless as any other God. But we have a king far better than Hezekiah. We have his descendant according to the flesh, Jesus Christ, who is also the God-man, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And if we will simply place our faith in him, he will deliver us out of the hand of the devil and all his legions, and we will dwell in the land of promise and safety. And we know how the story ends. We know that the devil will be laid low and that God will establish his kingdom in its fullness. And so we can despise all of his boasts and we can laugh at his threats and we need not be afraid. As St. Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.